In your years in this institution, have you formed any conclusion as to whether all of the inmates in Attica belong in a maximum security institution?
No, of course they don't, no. We have every type of inmate that you can imagine in the institution. A classification of inmate, I think, is something that the department is looking into now. They're discussing a maxi institution. Many of the programs that the state has put forth so far, and the rehabilitation, if you will, are hampered by a certain percentage of the inmates who are bound and determined that they won't change and that they're going to stop everybody else from changing, too. It's very, very unfair for a new inmate to be put in with certain of these individuals who have a seemingly some kind of control over them.
And what leads you to conclude that the older inmate has the control over the newer one?
Because of their determination, their ideas, they're more or less hero figures. They're people that continually degrade the system, people that work in the system.
When you say degrade it, is that different from criticizing it?
Well, criticize, degrade, whatever you will. And these new inmates are subjected to that. And rather than face ridicule or not being able to fit into a group, they resist the opportunities that are presented to them.
Okay, now, Mr. Gully, here you have, you say, inmates who are being encouraged to give disrespect for authority and to degrade the system. And yet, on the other part of the scale, you have nothing at Attica, really, to try to restore confidence in the system. Is that fair?
Well, nothing. I don't think that's fair to say that we have nothing.
But minimal.
It could be greatly improved on, yes. The people who are in the particular fields of education, vocational training, and the like are very dedicated people who are attempting to do a good job. But they need more.
How have your relationships been with inmates?
I haven't had much trouble with the inmates personally.
And why is that?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because I work nights. But, of course, I have had difficulties in the past on occasion, but not generally speaking.
Why did you choose night work? What are your hours?
My hours are 11 to 7 right now.
11 at night to 7 in the morning.
That's correct.
Why did you choose night work?
Well, I didn't really choose it. When I first started with the department here at Attica, I worked 2.5 days on days and automatically went on nights. And I worked on nights for about 5 years before I had the opportunity to go on days. And by the time that opportunity did arise, I was perfectly content with continuing with what I was doing.
And do you get extra compensation for working nights?
We get $300 a year, yes.
Now, working in the hospital at night, you do not have very much contact with the inmates when they're being seen at sick call by the doctors.
No.
But Dr. Williams, am I correct?
Yes, I do.
And you've heard over the years a good deal of criticism about the way inmates are handled at the hospital.
The inmates, many inmates do complain about it, yes.
And do you have any comments on the subject?
Well, yes, I just happen to know that Dr. Williams is a very dedicated doctor, man, and that he's subjected with many, many cases of inmates who go to the hospital just to take a walk somewhere, just to get away from out of their cell or away from their job for a while. And he has to determine whether the inmate is over here because he actually is suffering from one thing or another, or whether he's putting on. And this causes the doctor to be less patient, I suppose.
Do you think that there's something wrong with a system where an inmate has to go to a sick call in order to get out of his cell or get a little bit of variety?
Well, I think this is true in not only in the institutions, but it's true in industry and services and every place else. Everybody likes a little change once in a while.
And these inmates want, in addition to change, they want somebody to pay some attention to them?
That's right. They go over there to have somebody pay personal attention to them, I suppose, on certain occasions. But these would be the repeat type inmates who the doctor would be able to pick out very quickly, I'm sure.
And he doesn't have either the time or temperament to give them
It must be pretty frustrating when you're trying to do a job such as he is.
He's your personal doctor.
He's my personal doctor, yes.
And you have told me that if that you go to him for medical services, not for a bedside manner.
That's right. That's right. He's a very dedicated and very, very good doctor.
But the inmates at Attica want somebody there to show them some bedside manner, whether it's a doctor or somebody else. Isn't that
I think
observation?
Many people, not only in the inmate society, but in general society, go to a doctor for this reason. It's nothing too unusual.
Did you find in the days before you took the hospital job that inmates would want to confide in you at all about their problems?
Well, in many cases they do, yes.
Is there anybody else they could turn to, really, in the system to give them some help?
Well, yes, you have your chaplains who do a great deal for the inmates. If you are in direct contact with particular inmates over a long period of time, then they will go to you for counsel and advice.
And did you observe that over the last few years, inmates began to seek counsel among themselves?
Well, I think they always have.
But newer type groups into existence.
Yes, if you join a particular group, then matters that the group is interested, you'll seek this particular group out for counsel.
Did you regard the formation of groups such as the Muslim group, the Young Lord group, the Panther Party as a threat to your security?
Well, now you've taken several groups, and probably one group would be less guilty than another. But generally speaking, yes.
And what did you base that conclusion on?
Organization of resistance.
In the correction system as it existed for years, there used to be a rule that inmates could not assemble in great numbers in the yard. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And did officers become concerned when they would see these groups assembling in the yard?
Of course, if you're an officer in the yard and you see a large group of people assembling like that, you begin to wonder just what they're up to.
And how would you find out what they're up to?
Well, there isn't any way of finding out what they're up to.
And you feared the worst?
Well, you tend to do that, yes.
Now, that was one of the causes of apprehension among the correction officers before September 9?
Yes, it was. That and the filtering bits of information that you would pick up from conversations, direct statements from inmates, pieces of paper with certain things written down on them about violence and so on, yes.
But there always have been a lot of instruments of violence in a prison, haven't there? Knives, shivs, things like that.
There have been knives and shivs, yes. And still are.
And there have always been inmates who have talked about tearing down the joint, haven't they?
Well, it's certainly you'll find, always find some, but the in the past few years have been much, much more.
And there was much, much more unrest.
Among the inmates, that's right.
And you saw the unrest building?
Yes, we did.
You asked for riot training and warning system, and even that was denied you?
Well, it wasn't denied, but it wasn't granted either.
It just wasn't given.
It just never happened, that's all.
And the program changes were coming very slowly.
Yes, they were.
You're aware, I believe, that you're invited to make a statement of your own if you wish, either now or at the conclusion of the questioning of members of the commission. So you might think about that and do whatever you wish.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask one or two questions about HBZ, which you said was formerly referred to as the box. As far as we know, the inmates still refer to it as that, whether with authority or not.
The state changed the name, but it's still the same place, yes.
Does HBZ stand for anything?
It only stands for Housing Black Zebra.
Ah, thank you.
Designates a particular area in the institution,
known.
That's
yes.
All.
You were there for 12 years.
Yes.
How many, what was the capacity in terms of inmates of HBZ at that time?
Well, the capacity is 50. However, we only had, five or six at the most, generally speaking, unless we had a particular large incident occur.
What were the inmates sentenced to HBZ for, or sent to HBZ for, typically, and for how long a period on the average?
Well, we had, for instance, if there was a fight in the mess hall. The mess hall is a very strategic part of the institution because of the number of inmates in the given area at one particular time. So when there was a disturbance in the mess hall, the people involved in it would be put into the box, another term, into segregation to keep the fight from spreading, actually. Others were inmates who were simply refused to obey any of the rules and regulations of the prison society. Others were people who were giving difficulty to the department.
So in general, it was the aggravated offenders against the rules of the institution?
Oh, yes.
How long was the typical sentence?
Well, it was something like 2 months. Mm-hmm. I'd say it would be an average.
With that small a number under your custody, you must have known them very well as individuals. You would know all their names, of course. What would you call inmates at that time, if you wanted to speak to one or ask him to do something or tell him to do something? Is it Mr. Jones or some other form
of
dress?
Well, it would vary as to the how well you knew him. Sometimes you wouldn't say Mr. or Joe or anything else. You'd say, like for instance, it's time for breakfast. You'll have to come and get your food. You don't go on down and say, Mr. So-and-so, it's time for your breakfast. But on other occasions, if you knew the inmate, you'd call him by his first name, depending on how well you knew him.
Was the practice there in this and other respects particularly different than in dealing with inmates in other parts of the institution?
No.
Now, you left HBZ on a job bidding basis because, as I understand it, you found that you were left without adequate authority to deal with the problems you found there. Did I understand you correctly? I'm not sure that I did, to say that you went to E Block at some later time?
Well, I transferred out of HBZ into D Block.
Yes.
Were you
ever at E Block?
D?
E.
E, yes, I have been, yes.
Well, now, why did you go to E Block if you found HBZ too restrictive on your authority? Because as I understand it, E Block is a more permissive part of the institution, is it not?
Yes, but you can handle people on a closer basis than you can in the HBZ. In other words, you can talk to people and discuss things with them. They're standing face to face with you, and they're on common ground.
How many men would you have under your supervision in E Block at any time?
Oh, we had 30 or 40.
And would you know all of them by name?
No, I wasn't there long enough. I got to know most of them by name. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I believe one of them you're going to talk to in this hearing.
Mm-hmm. When you were in D Block, how long were you there?
I was in D Block about a year and a half.
So you knew all the inmates there by name in your company,
I'm saying? No, I was a hall captain there.
You were a hall captain.
And didn't deal with...
How many individuals in a hall?
500.
Yes. Would it be fair to summarize your